This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
1, 3, 2, 1.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly. On the Tee, Florida.
You're playing golf and you're going to like it.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Fresca?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf. From the PGA and LPGA to the WNCA and LIV.
We're waiting.
And now.
Your Honor.
Let's tee off with two pros and a hack. PGA professionals John Rager and Bill Buttner, and your host Mike Rickard, along with the entertainment squad, a colorful cast of characters.
You want to make $14 the hard way?
Now, everyone back up. Here's Mike Rickard.
Welcome to On the Tee, Florida. Two pros and a hack. The entertainment gallery has ghosted me this evening. We're live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill on this leap day, February 29th, 2024. Live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill on 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. We're brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, and of course, Sea Dogs Brewery, where they're serving breakfast daily. I've eaten there twice this week. And looking forward to lunch, actually, tomorrow. We're live, as I said, from our 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, where we got two golf simulators. Those are supported by our friends at Michelob Ultra, all of our leagues and all the activity, long drive contests, all the things that John Rager's been diligent about the last year, actually, getting up rock and rolling with it'll be a year in May of the two simulators here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Give us a call and make reservations, or go online, make reservations as well. Well, today's show is going to be interesting. It's John Rager, one pro, myself. I said that the school's still out on whether the other pro, Bill Buttner, will join us. And Tom Gribben has a little tickle in his throat. Kerry McNally is preparing for a couple of comedy shows and, of course, his late night show. And then Patty Suzette, I think she's taken the night off because she did such a superb job in the mural here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And we'll talk a little bit about later on. But I've always got my anchor, and that's John Rager. What's going on, brother?
Well, gosh, yeah, it seems like everything's starting to hit the high gear now in Florida with the Florida swing. Just started out today at the Cognizant Classic down at Palm Beach National. Actually, it's called PJ National in Palm Beach, and the name of the course is the Champions Course. So at that resort there, they played this tournament off and on for a number of years. Golf course was designed and built in 1981 by Tom Fazio. And so it was known as the Honda Classic. Now they have a new sponsor, and Cognizant stepped to the forefront there, and they have a nice field down there. Obviously, it's not the signature event. The next 2 weeks on the PGA Tour coming up will be the Arnold Palmer Invitational plus the Players' Championship or the Florida Swing, then followed by the Valspar. So the Arnold Palmer Invitational and, of course, the Players' Championship are your signature events. So at that particular point, you're going to get all the best players that are eligible to play on the PGA Tour to play in those events. So I think you're going to be in for a great month of golf here in the Florida area, and looking forward to seeing a big event that's coming up in Tampa Bay, and it's the Aramco Team Series, and it's a worldwide five-tournament series, three continents, and it's $5 million in prize money, and we've got some of the big stars in women's golf coming to Featherstone Country Club actually next week, Thursday through Sunday. We're looking forward to being over there and broadcasting and doing our shows, so lots to talk about, a lot going on in professional golf. And I just read an article today that Brittany Lithicum is going to be the assistant captain to Stacey Lewis for one of the teams there. So that's going to be great to get the hometown gal involved and looking to have some fun.
Well, and Lexi Thompson will be there as well for that local flavor. So looking forward to that. And we'll have a conversation about 5:30 with Ward Chapman. Aramco Team Series, and we'll talk to him as well. He apparently knows Bill Buttner, so hopefully Bill shows up and those two can share stories as well. You know what? I love the Honda. You know why? It's where Zach Johnson got his first PGA win.
Did not know that.
I was actually down here visiting my mother. I knew Zach fairly well. He had just a couple of years removed from being a senior at Drake, and Mark Egli, who we've had on the show many times. Mark was working with him, so I chatted with him, and we sat down with stepdad and I to watch a little Sunday golf and turn it on, and lo and behold, who's on top of that leaderboard? The unknown Zach Johnson, now with 13 victories under his belt, two majors, Ryder Cup captain. The rest is history. He's in the field. What do they typically do? If you are a winner at a PGA event, John, do you have a lifetime exemption typically?
Well, what happens is at a regular PGA Tour event, if you're a past champion, even if you're not active playing on the PGA Tour as an except player, a lot of times you still get the chance to go back and play. It just depends on what type of tournament it is. This would be one of them. If you're at a signature event, that's a different story because they're really tight on eligibility because they're trying to get the world's top 70 players involved. So, yes, you can go back. I remember Pat Lindsay, for some of our listeners out there, Pat was started out in the Tampa Bay area at University of South Florida. Now, he's an old guy. He won the 1983 BC Open in Endicott, New York. Now it's a Champions Tour event. But by virtue of winning it, I remember like 20 years later, they invited him out as defending champ to go play, and he did. And he was standing on the practice tee, and he hasn't really played the PGA Tour event in like 10 years, maybe longer than that. And he got up and he hit his first shot, and he shanked it right into the rear end of David Frost. And David Frost looks over at him and just like, who are you? You know, what are you doing?
Absolute classic. Hey, you brought up Shank. I don't know if you watched any of the coverage today, but I thought it was just classic announcer's hex. They were talking to, you know, they're at the Bear Claw, and Adam Shank, I think he's Canadian. Adam Shank was on the tee box, and they said, and Adam Shank has had 20 rounds here and has never put a ball in the water. And sure enough, he's on the tee box, and where does he go? Right in the water. And I just love when they give that hex. But you don't see it very often in the world of golf. Typically, it's extra points or field goals. But Adam Shank shanked it, and I'm sure that the Golf Channel crew is going to hear about that a little bit. I thought that was pretty comical today.
Well, you know, from what I understand, they made the golf course a little bit easier to play. Rough is not as thick, and they've slowed the greens down just slightly, and they've widened some of the fairways. Now, there still is those three holes that are super, super tough, and they call it the bear trap. And that's the 15th, 16th, and 17th hole. So the 15th is the par 3, 16th par 4, 17th par 3, and they're all nestled right in between water hazards. And those are holes that, according to Jack Nicklaus, and there's a big plaque out there that tells you you're entering the bear trap, and there's a quote from Jack Nicklaus on this big plaque on a big rock that says, the tournament should be won or lost on these three holes. And they call it the bear trap. And so that's probably one of the most interesting things about the tournament. And you're right, you know, young Zach Johnson wins for the first time. Kenny Knox won for the first time. In fact, he was the only PGA Tour pro to shoot 80 and still win the PGA Tour event. It was one of those years where they had just so much horrible weather that the average score that day was like 79.86. So he ended up still winning that golf tournament. But a lot of young folks, Keith Mitchell, a recent young good player, has won there. And so, yes, you don't necessarily get all the big stars the way the tournament's been sandwiched in between the signature events and those kind of things, especially coming from the West Coast. But I can tell you that it's going to be fun. There are some great players that are playing. You know, you'll get to see some of the younger ones. And, of course, when you watch the Pagasa Classic, you just want to sit there and watch those three holes. That's the most fun because the tournament definitely will be won or lost on the bear trap.
Well, right now, Chad Ramey's on top of that leaderboard at 700, tied with S.H. Kim. But we've had, as we've talked about each and every week, we've had consistency and Chalk not being at the top of the leaderboards or winning for that matter, with the exception of Hideki Matsuyama several weeks ago. But otherwise, we're getting guys that are rising to the opportunities that present themselves, especially with these limited fields. And there's been a lot of conversation about that this week in terms of some of the guys said, well, we don't even feel like PGA Tour members to some degree. And I don't know who they were, and I don't know if you would you would determine that whining, but that I'm sure that's some of the feeling for some of these guys.
Well, you know, there actually is some star power in this tournament. They've kind of stuck in there. You know, Rory McIlroy's playing in this tournament right now. He's tied for 17th at 4 under par, and you know, so obviously, I think he's using this as a way for him to get ready to, you know, for the signature events coming up. So, you know, look for him to be contending over the weekend. You've got Kamaya Vijayguss, who had a career comeback in the fall, and now he's on the PGA Tour policy board, but he's exempt for this tournament at -2. And here's a name you haven't heard for a while, Aaron Baddeley. Now, he might have the longest hair out there on the PGA Tour, but he was an Aussie superstar, darling of the world of golf, and he actually turned pro at 16 and actually started playing on the PGA Tour, I believe. He's like 18 years old. So look for him to make a great comeback. And there's Steven Yeager from Germany, who just had a nice top 10 finish last week. So you start to see some folks that play throughout. But here's one. Here's somebody that's won into the World Golf Hall of Fame, and he's 50 years old. He might be 51 now. That's playing in this tournament at 1 under par, Padraig Harrington.
Padraig Harrington. I told you that story. I had a board op one time, and I let him read the the one and only time I let him read the leaderboard. I don't remember what the tournament was. And he says, and sitting in second place is Padraig Harrington. And I said, and sitting in that chair, who's never going to be on the mic again, is Jeff Kahn, but a good buddy of mine. Anyway, Padraig's in the field. You know, it's pretty cool that Rory's playing. Of course, that's, you know, his neighborhood. He lives there. And his parents live right down the street. And, you know, Gene Elliott, who we've had on several times, of course, incredible senior amateur with a British and a U.S. Open under his belt. He lives right next door to his parents, and he said they're just the kindest people. And he's met Rory several times, you know, in the neighborhood, and he said just a great, wonderful family.
Well, here's something about this tournament, too, is that Jack and Barbara Nicklaus, they're the hosts for this tournament because it benefits their hospital in town. It always has for a number of years, and so they actually are the tournament hosts for this. And I saw the coolest video. They had some sort of party at Jack's house last night, so obviously, you know, if you can call him Jack versus Mr. Nicklaus, you probably had a chance to get invited. And Jack, evidently, I didn't know this, but he must have been a wild game hunter because in his den, he's got all kinds of taxidermy posted on the walls of a variety of animals and bear carpets, and you know, and he's got this giant tarpon he caught. I mean, so he must be had been quite the outdoor gamesman. But yes, and I think that's one of the reasons why you see sometimes like a Rory playing. Rory lives right down the street. I'm sure Jack Nicklaus, you know, really wanted Rory to play, and Rory probably needed to do that out of respect because he's right there in Jack's backyard. I remember a few years ago, I was just down there in Palm Beach, you know, for some business arrangement or meeting or something going on. I'm not sure why I was there, and I went down to the local Starbucks and got a coffee for Miss Karen, and, you know, I'm standing in line, and right behind me is Jack Nicklaus. He's getting a cup of coffee for Barbara. So, you know, you're liable to run into Jack Nicklaus down in Palm Beach, so you better be careful. And so if you live there, you better play in his golf tournament.
The Golden Bear doesn't have a VIP where he has to actually stand in line at a Starbucks. That's unbelievable.
Well, you know, I think if Mrs. Nicklaus wants a Starbucks, he's going to go out and get that for her. So, he had one job that day.
I guarantee you the majority of those kids working in that Starbucks didn't have a clue who he was.
Hey, you know, I'm also looking at this leaderboard as we talk, and here's a surprise now. This is not a welcome surprise because Eric Cole, who was Rookie of the Year on the PGA Tour last year and had an unbelievable amount of top 10 and 20 finishes and won a boatload of money. He's the 35-year-old rookie and the son of Laura Baugh. And this is one of the tournaments last year he played pretty well in to start that great streak that started to earn him the Rookie of the Year honors. He's in last place at +7. So he must have the flu or something because that's very uncharacteristic of Eric to be playing that bad. So we'll have to look in to see if there's anything else going on with him. Ricky Fowler is playing, tied for 97. Tough crowd out there. You're even par, you're tied for 97. So looks like you better be 200 or 300 par to make the cut, maybe even longer, maybe even more. I'm looking at around 70th place right now. And and that is tied for 76 is minus one. So normally when you look at cuts, you either double that for minus two, or if it's really, really difficult, you just keep it on the same cut line as the night day before. But it's going to be interesting tomorrow to see what moving day is. That's always my fun. I always like watching Friday afternoon when you're getting ready for the cut and to see who makes it and who doesn't.
Well, I also saw that Fred Biondi, you remember him, he was, of course, he's the Florida former Florida Gator, was the NCAA champion. He got an exemption. He's in the field, and he was talking about the Florida swing, and now he's a pro, and how much he's looking forward to embracing the opportunity to be in front of Gator fans for a good portion of the month. He'll probably only be in a couple of the events, depending on how he plays, of course, this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, if you look at each tournament, the PGA Tour does a good job of giving you the course stats, meaning that what the greens are made out of as far as what type of turf grass. And there's a lot of different variables, but Florida generally has all the same type of turf grass. It's some sort of Bermuda grass, a strain of it, Tiff Dwarf. There's all kinds of variations to it. And what happens is there are horses for courses, and there are players that play better in the Florida swing because they can play grain. You know, Florida, especially with Bermuda greens, you have quite a bit of grain in them, more than you think. I mean, they do a good job of verti cutting the grain out and, trying to make the ball roll true. But you can get some grainy greens here in Florida, unlike other parts of the country, when they putt on bent grass and other type of strains of turf grass, that you don't have all that grain. So you'll see the best putters that like to putt Bermuda greens come forward in the entire Florida swing.
You're listening down the Tee, Florida. We're live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill on 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. Come on down tonight. It's a nice cool evening down here, 13th and Central. We're across from Tropicana Field. We've got two open simulators right now if you happen to be in the area. In fact, if you come down between now and 8 o'clock, grab me and just ask for me, and I'll give you a free hour on the simulators. I'll give you a BOGO. Buy one, get one free here as we it's leap year. I might as well give something free, right, John?
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a bonus. You know, we do tout that sometimes we have a live studio audience down there. So if you're listening, get down there right now, and you can listen to the show and hit balls.
And I'll give you some swag. Hey, let's go back last week on the Champions Tour, the Hassan II, the golf trophy event over in Morocco. And, I think we talked about it last week when everybody arrived, and John Daly really didn't want much to do with the dates. Well, the way he played, maybe he ate some of the food there that didn't get along with him, because you talk about dead last. That was JD, John Daly. I knew he was having some wrist issues the week before, and maybe he just wanted to take the international flight and wine and dine, have some fun. But, JD, I thought things were promising prior to the Chubb Classic. He said both his knees. He talked to Jeremy Friedman. He was ready to compete this year, and then just the no-show. And I haven't seen any information on whether he was injured, whether he was enjoying the Moroccan women.
I heard that what happened was he injured his wrist, and actually he put something out on social media. He was getting some shots with his wrist and things like that, so that indeed may be bothering him. But you had another Cinderella winner out there. You had
Roberto Gonzalez, right?
That's right. Ricardo Gonzalez from Argentina. And 54 years old. He spent most of his time playing on the European Tour. But it looked like he made four birdies in a row, and he ended up shooting a 3-under par 70. He held off Bjorn for the title. Nice. But the really cool thing is the King of Morocco was right there on the 18th green in his throne with his queen, looking out over the 18th hole as they were coming up to finish.
Kind of cool. She's an attractive lady.
I did notice there's probably no alcohol consumed over there, because some players who he was a crowd favorite, but he's also a favorite of a lot of the caddies and some of the other players out there. And they went out there and gave him a shower of water, bottled water. There was no champagne thrown on top of his head. So they must have a strict, nobody drinks over there policy.
Well, there was certainly a lot of emotion with his caddy and his brother. I think he'd lost a brother in the last year or so. There was a lot of emotion there. One thing that one guy that I saw, and I'd seen him before at a Champions event, he looked like he might have swallowed the entire smorgasbord. Thomas Bjorn, do you see how big that dude is now?
Well, yeah, he's got that, what they call, visceral fat around his waist there. I'm not sure if he needs to look into switching to light beer because he looks like he must be enjoying something there. Yeah, he's gotten a little pudgy there. And, you know, it's interesting. You don't really see that much out there anymore on the regular tour or even the Champions Tour. There, you know, a lot of them are, they try to stay as fit as possible. But there are some out there that, you know, if they did it, that might ruin their whole game anyway. It's got to affect their stamina to be a little bit heavy and try to, you know, compete because the golf courses on the Champions Tour, they're not hitting giggle courses. They're over 7,000 yards long, and you have to not only hit the ball far, but you got to have enough stamina to be consistent out there. But yeah, I'm not sure what his diet is, but you know, if he feels good and he's playing good, you know, don't mess with that.
Hey, and hats off to Angel Cabrera. You know, he finished 27th, 3 under. But everything that he's been through and the hell that he's been put through, I've got a soft spot in my heart for guys like that that didn't really, I don't think, had malice or intent to do anything intentional, and they sent him away and disgraced him in his home country, and you know, kind of like Jim Thorpe. He's a philanthropist, a giving guy. You know, he liked to gamble, he liked to have a lot of fun. I love that cat. And again, I have a soft spot in my heart for those guys, and good to see Angel Cabrera, and then of course his countrymen win it. So they probably did go find a place to have a couple of adult beverages, wouldn't you think?
Well, Angel Cabrera, you know, he did his time. You know, he was a domestic dispute, and he threw his cell phone at his partner, and he got arrested and, you know, for assault, and he actually got jailed for several years, and. But he did his time. He paid his price. He's rehabilitated. He's playing golf again. He is eligible to play in the Masters, but I'm not sure if the United States has granted him a visa to come into the country and compete in the Masters. So we'll have to see how that works. It's so crazy. Just go ahead and just stick across the border and you're going to be in. They'll even probably fly to Augusta and give you a free hotel room.
I think that it got worse when they brought up tax evasion issues, though. I thought they had gotten by the domestic dispute issue, and then they piled on him. But you know, I may be wrong, but that's
no,
what
it very well could be. You know, I met some Italians years ago.
I wasn't defending him on the domestic.
Well, dispute. No. You know, in fact, you know, a lot of these countries, especially socialistic countries, you know, the population there, you know, they hide as much income as they can from the government. I mean, it's just. You know, so, you know, a professional golfer wouldn't be any different. And it's probably, you know, when he's over in the United States, they only let him out of the country for so many months out of the year to be able to go do that. But you're right, you know, so, but the good news is he's back, he's active, he's playing, and hopefully he'll be able to get back to the Masters. Not sure, you know, how competitive he's going to be on the Champions Tour. I think he will be. And I think, you know, it'll probably take him a year or two to get in the swing of things.
You're listening on the T Florida. Of course, our flagship is WTAN 106.1 FM, AM 1340. That's Tampa, Clearwater, St. Pete, along with WZHR FM 104.3 FM, WDCF AM 1350, Zephyr Hills, and then, of course, Lake City, Gainesville, WGRO AM 1250, and WDSR AM 1340. And in the month of March, we'll be making some exciting news on a couple of other affiliates that I'm almost certain we locked up last night on my conversations in Scottsdale, Arizona. And, geez, it's amazing. I was talking to this Francis that I told you about, and there's over 300 golf courses in the greater Scottsdale area. That's astounding. There's about 1,100 in the entire state of Florida, right?
Well, there is. Now, Arizona is a little different than Florida. Florida actually has well over 1,200 golf courses. Florida has more miles of fairways
than
beaches. That's correct. And then Florida. And Florida's got a lot of beaches. But so Florida's the golf capital of the world, but Arizona's interesting. I went out there years ago, did a project for Outback Steakhouse, and we launched the summer golf membership out there. And it was Tucson and Phoenix, and Scottsdale's, you know, a suburb, obviously, of Phoenix. And So the population seems to be concentrated. You have Flagstaff and Phoenix and then Tucson. And then the rest of the state, you know, it's pretty, yeah, it's just desert. So what they do is they do have a ton of golf courses around the Phoenix area. I'm not sure if it's 300, but it's in the, it's got to be well over 100, 150 in Phoenix alone. But it's interesting out there because the use of water out there, every golf course has a canal that connects to a an irrigation canal that connects to whatever water source they get it, and they have to order their water, and they have to be very careful how they use water. So when they irrigate out there in Arizona, it's only the actual turf that you need to irrigate. And that's why when you see those desert golf courses, there's cactus and rocks and all kinds of stuff as soon as you get off the fairway. And it's expensive out there, too. You know, when you pay a greens fee, you know, it could be 25% of your greens fee goes just for the price of the water they use just to irrigate. So it is amazing how many golf courses they have out there, considering all the restrictions on water usage.
Well, I have a buddy that kicked in the NFL for about 12 years, Billy Cundiff. He was with his claim to fame is with the Ravens when they went to the Super Bowl, graduated from Drake University. He's a notorious tightwad, and he lives in the greater Phoenix area. And I called him one, I guess, July afternoon to see if he'd come on before preseason and visit. He's golfing. It's 2 in the afternoon. It was 104. I said, Billy, what the hell are you doing? He says, hey, 50% off if you go after noon to 4. That's the, and this cat was making seven figures, you know, in the NFL. Nice career kicking. But I always thought about it. He said, you can get on any track you want in Arizona. Well, let's shift gears to something very, very cool coming to the area, and that's the Ramco Team Series at Feathersome. Ward Chapman's kind enough to take time to join us right now on a very busy schedule. I tell you what, you guys are probably, you know what, to the wall with this short window to get prepared for this, so I appreciate you taking time, Ward. How are you, my man?
Well, Mike, I'm good to hear from you, man. I was excited to hear that you have a co-host named Bill Butner. That was awesome. Butner and I go way back to Chapel Hill, North Carolina, University of North Carolina. Pretty awesome.
Well, God bless you, but he ghosted you today. You know where he's at. This is what he does in his old age. He's over at St. Pete Country Club. He's been there for 23-plus years. And on Thursdays, and it's just a short window of the year, they have the ladies now, Wine and Nine, and he does not want to miss it. I blew up his phone, so he has dumped you, the opportunity to talk to you, over some women at the country club.
I think it's the wine, actually.
Well, and yeah. I tell you what, I tell you what, John Rager's on the other end. We hear so much about North Carolina. I'm a shill for the great state of Iowa. That's where my homeland is. But anytime you talk to Bill Butner, he brings up your blue, and I'm sure you just have the same amount of passion. But a great guy and a big contribution to our show, and I hope you guys can get together next week when you come up there.
No doubt. Well, thanks for having me on to talk about this event next week. I'll give you the official title first. It's called the Aramco Team Series presented by PIF Tampa.
Gotcha.
And our schedule next week is competition days are Friday, March 8th, Saturday, March 9th, Sunday, March 10th. Friday and Saturday are unique in that it's a team competition where the top 28 ranked Ladies European Tour participants will draft one other player to be on their team, and then a third professional is randomly chosen for their team. And then, if you can imagine this, it will be an amateur on their team with a portion of their handicap. The purse is $1 million. 50% of that purse is to the team. So I can imagine Mike Rickard, I don't know how many shots you get, Mike, but think about yourself coming up 18. If you got a shot and your team's tied for the lead and you got a putt to make a par, net, birdie, and you got 500K riding on it, that'll be a little bit of pressure. So that'll be an interesting element of the tournament.
Well, if it happened to be me, Ward, and you teed off like at noon, you would have to, like they did in the match recently, you'd still have to have lights out there because that's how long it would take for me to play that course. But what a cool, and I bet there'll be some side action on that too. What a cool format to get the amateurs involved.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And they played the team concept on Friday and Saturday, but the individual competition is going on alongside of it. And then when the team competition is completed on Saturday, it's just the individual competition on Sunday, 54-hole stroke play to determine who wins. So this is going on at Feather Sound Country Club. Feather Sound, from what I understand, has been renovated within the last 3 years, and it's really transformed the golf course into being a really stellar course. And when I played it Monday for the first time, 17's like a 330-yard par 4 with a hazard in front of the green. 18's about a 410-yard par 4 with a hazard up the right, hazard in front of the green. So that's going to be a really difficult finish. That'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, Wade, this is John Rager. And I think for our listeners out there, they really need to know this is a really, really big deal. You know, Tampa Bay's been host to Super Bowls, the NCAA basketball championships, all types of major league events, obviously PGA Tour events, LPGA Tour events. But, you know, when you look at the website and you look at the announcements of this tour coming, five different countries, three different continents, and $5 million in total prize fund, why don't you give our listeners out there kind of a feel for the development of this tour, how long it's been around, how this series developed with the Ladies European Tour and some of the history of it, and how in the world you picked Tampa Bay to come when you're going to go to five different countries and this is the only North American visit you're going to make.
Well, this is the fourth year they played in the States. The first 2 years were played in New York, and then last year was down in Palm Beach at Trump International. And so they're trying to go around and play different markets. So the Tampa market worked out well. The deal with Feather Sound wasn't finalized until, you know, a month or two ago. So that's why we're really ramping up the opportunity to push this. They'll play in the U.S., play in Seoul in May, London in July, Asia in October, and then back to Saudi Arabia in November. So each one of those tournaments has a $1 million purse. Players you can look for, John, you mentioned some of the people that are playing. Brittany Linsen comes playing. Brittany's from, of course, from that area. Brittany went out for a practice round last week and shot 6 under. So I wouldn't be surprised that she's motivated by playing at home. You've got Lexi Thompson. You got Charlie Hull. You've got Megan Kane. You've got some of the top women players in the world. I think there's 22 countries represented, so pretty wide berth of participants that are going to be playing there.
Yeah, one of the things we like to do when tournaments come to town and we like to cover them, you know, we go ahead and post on our website and our social media the tournament. We saw the tournament flyer, and the thing that jumped out at me was when I saw Lexi Thompson on the poster there, and I realized the understanding of this is like LPGA players and Lady European Tour players and amateurs. Where do the amateurs come from as far as how do they get selected to play in this tournament?
The amateurs are affiliated with the sponsor, and I don't know all the detail on that, but it's probably much like when you participate in it. Since, John, you're a former tour player, it's much like when you're an amateur playing in a PGA Tour Pro-Am, your company or yourself probably forks out some money to be a participant as an amateur. So I'm sure that's the case. So I think that's unique. I think the amateurs will really have an appreciation for how good these women are as golfers when they go out and play, because they're going to, number one, be under the spotlight a little bit. And gosh, you know, if you get a shot on a hole, you can contribute because the scoring is done by two low net every hole. So you know, those pros aren't getting any shots. You're the only person getting any shots if you're the amateur.
Hey, Ward, why don't you explain your role in this, since it just happened at the last minute. I didn't do a whole lot of homework. I had a conversation today with John Rinaldi. Of course, he's the director of golf operations up there at Feather Sound, and we're going to reach out to him next week when we're up there on Thursday doing the show. So talk about your role and how you got involved in this event and in this series.
I live in Jacksonville, so there's
you're right up there by John.
Yeah, there you go. John, where do you live?
I live down in St. Pete Beach.
Okay. St. Pete, okay. I mean.
All right.
Excuse me. St. Augustine Beach. You know, I always. Our show originates obviously out of St. Petersburg, so I'm always saying St. Petersburg all the time for some reason. But no, we're in Northeast Florida, just down the road from you at St. Augustine Beach.
Cool. Maybe another time we can talk about the St. John's Golf Club if you've not played that since it's been redone. It's really cool.
Absolutely.
But,
look forward to that.
Yeah, I live in Jacksonville and have a communications group, and Performance 54 is an organization out of the UK which helps organize a tournament, both media, infrastructure, everything. And they wanted somebody in the U.S. and Florida base to help them to sort of advance the tournament and be there beforehand. And so I could talk to the media in the Tampa, St. Pete area, talk to you guys, things of this nature, trying to encourage people to come out and see them play. One thing I will note that this, I think, is of particular interest is next Friday, the first round is International Women's Day, so all women can come to the tournament next Friday at no charge.
Oh, wow.
So that's a pretty cool start to the tournament, and I think that'll draw some people out to see some of these players. There's a young lady from Malaysia, Kelly Tan, who's playing, and she won on the Ladies European Tour 3 weeks ago. She's age 19, so she'll be a fun person to watch play during the whole course of the tournament.
Well, we did a live remote from the Annika and got immersed in that up there at the Pelican Club. And I'll tell you what, it's amazing. And with, you know, Lexi living in the area and being from Florida, and all these young ladies, Brittany, of course, has an event for the first tee here in St. Petersburg. But the young women now that are getting involved in the game of golf, It's amazing, and events like this are going to do nothing but continue to propel it. You know, the purses have gone up. John and I have been following it the last year and a half closely, and we've got Nellie Korda just down the road here at in Bradenton. It's a great time for women's golf, that's for certain.
Well, I know the National Golf Foundation, which always gives a lot of data on how many people are playing golf and so forth, they said last year, the end of last year, for the first time ever in the United States, there were more than 6 million women golfers. And that wow. really is escalating. So women are playing because golf is more popular. They can go somewhere like a Top Golf. They can go to a simulator and play with it. They don't feel like they're intimidated when they haven't played any golf before. So women golfers are really coming on strong, particularly in the junior ranks. I think young girls are really starting to participate more, to almost to the same level as young boys are.
Well, you know, Wade, On the Tee, Florida is probably maybe the only golf broadcast, live broadcast in the state of Florida that we have our own golf simulators inside. People come by and they can have a refreshment at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill and have a nice sandwich and hit golf balls on the simulator, and we do leagues and things like that. And we do notice a lot of women getting involved with that, just to go out there and having fun. And even the times I've been to Top Golf locally there, you can tell that the women's is the fastest growing segment of it. Hey, you know, I was looking at the website for tickets, and I looked at the ticket prices, and they're absolutely reasonable. I mean, to see this kind of talent and some of the world's best women's golfers out there. And you can buy a ticket to go. I'm looking at the website. Where should they go to buy these tickets?
Go to RamcoTeamSeries.com, and that's ARAMCO TeamSeries.com, and that's where you can get the tickets. And thanks for mentioning the ticket price. I think, John, I think the most expensive ticket's, $17 or something of that nature. So it's very reasonable to go out. There's, but beside the eighth, the ninth green is an entertainment zone. So if you got kids, if you just want to go in there yourself and just hang out, play video games, have a cold drink, things of that nature, that'll be perfect. And I think it's going to be a really cool event, especially with the team and individual components together. I think the Brittany mentioned the other day, she's just recently announced as the vice captain for the Solheim Cup, which will be held in the fall. And she was really looking forward to the team aspect, mainly because she's going to have to be coaching or teaching the American team when they get to the fall.
You're listening.
Yeah, I was reading an article about that with Stacey Lewis. I guess they both played in the Annika tournament. Stacey and Brittany were walking out of the child care center with their kids after one of the rounds, and Stacey mentioned to her, "Hey, you want to be an assistant captain one day?" Now, and didn't mention the Solheim Cup. Yeah, just was mentioning something like that, and then in casual passing, and there you have it. There's Brittany going to be the assistant captain. So we're excited to see that.
Cool. So what day are you guys coming out?
We're coming up on Thursday, Ward, if that's cool with everybody. I don't know if we coordinate everything through you or do I need to talk to John. We look forward to it. All we need is a little plug-in, a little Wi-Fi, and we're ready to rock and roll like we did up at the Annika.
I'll send you a note after this about how to get credentialed. It's very simple. You guys can just plug your names in and go from there.
I think John's already – you've already done that, haven't you, John?
We went ahead and did our paperwork. Yes, we did that yesterday. So we're looking forward to coming down there. And you know, one of the fun things about covering a golf tournament from a media perspective is that you're going to be able to be exposed to the next great story. You just have to have enough intuition and to be able to recognize that some of these young women out there are going to be some of the future Hall of Famers out there. And you're just going to have to see who that's going to be. So we're looking forward to being there and seeing some of the younger talent out there. Plus, you know, there's the European flair to it. It's not often that you get the ladies European tour, you know, coming to the Tampa Bay area. You know, with the Annika, of course, it's an international tournament. But this is something that seems like it's going to be more accessible, more fun. You know, there's a huge military population here in Tampa Bay, and I saw that you offered military discounts, so it's very affordable to go. You know, Wade, what would you recommend for parking? I know there'll be parking signs.
That was a typo. It's Ward, not Wade. That was me fat fingering his name to you. So I take complete responsibility for that.
Well, you know, Ward, I'll tell you what. You got to be a great guy, especially for North Carolina, because you didn't correct me one time. I heard Mike go Ward, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, Mike. Make sure you get that cataract taken care of, by the summer.
Hey, Ward, now you know what John has to – I'm the hack. This show – the moniker, I've been doing this for 20-plus years. These two poor souls just happened to run into me, Bill Butner and John Rager, two pros and a hack. But you should see me hack it up in the technology world. If I didn't have John Rager up there in St. Augustine Beach, I would be in the deep stuff all the time, I'll tell you right now.
I hear you. Your question about parking is just come to Feather Sound, and there will be signage directing you to parking. And I'm not sure... you got the iHeart Radio building is next to it, and there's a lot of office buildings, office space there. I'm sure that we'll use some of that space. If not, there will be signage that will direct you there, and we'll get you in and out of there pretty quickly. Just for you guys' information, too, next Wednesday night we're doing the draft party at Raymond James Stadium, the Buck Stadium, probably up near the Pirate Ship, and we'll bring all the participants in the tournament, and we'll have a draft where they'll pick the other members of their team. So we're going to have a sort of a party from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Buck Stadium next Wednesday night in order to finalize the teams.
Well, that's super cool. Hey, Ward, have you ever been on that Pirate Ship?
I have not.
Oh, you're going to love it. It's actually, it's a real-size Pirate Ship out there now. Hopefully they'll let you guys fire the cannons that night. Anytime the Tampa Bay Buccaneers get within the red zone, within the 20-yard line, they fire those cannons. Of course, then they fire them again if they score. So it's quite a unique thing to sit in a football stadium and for a party and introduce the draft to the players. I'm sure they'll have everything on the big jumbotrons on the scoreboard. So, golf events are great at football stadiums, so it's going to be a wonderful time, I'm sure.
Well, we just had our Florida Sports Hall of Fame inductee banquet. Was it 2 years ago there, John?
Yeah, we had our enshrinement. I serve on the board of the Florida Sports Hall of Fame, and we had our enshrinement at Raymond James Stadium, and we did it inside the club suite area. You know, when you're there that night, you'll see what I'm talking about with all the screens and the food and the fun. But, yeah, so what a great venue that is for the draft party, and going to be interesting to see what the teams are, and off they go, I guess, on Friday for the first round.
So, Ward, I'm going to need some. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I look forward to seeing you guys. Go ahead. I apologize for interrupting.
Well, we can't let you go without giving us some backstory on this Bill Buettner relationship that you had. You met him at the University of North Carolina, then?
I think I was a freshman when Buettner was a senior. Buettner was played college golf with a guy who was a very good player, but also a wild man, John Magoo. I don't know John Rieger if you know John Magoo or not. But they had a nice team over the next 5 to 6 years. They had guys like John Inman, Davis Love, Jackie Nicklaus come in there. So by the time I was a senior, some of those guys were coming in there. So they really had a good program. I think right now Carolina's men's team is either number one or number two in the country.
So they're number two, right behind Wake Forest. They're number two in the country. I just did the top tens today. For a guy from Massachusetts, he certainly sounds like a good old boy from North Carolina these days as he talks about his beloved blue and white, which is, as I said, is frequently. He was the men's coach at Eckerd College and women's for 23 years, just stepped down. And I told you he's at St. Pete Country Club. But anytime he has a conversation, he's representing your alma mater, I can assure you that. He should get some kind of an alumni award.
Awesome. We'll bring him out there next Thursday. I'd love to say hello to him again. That'd be great.
We're going to make him miss his wine and dine with the women. He's coming with us next Thursday. Yeah, one of the favorite stories that Bill told us, he was telling us that he has the entire 1991 PGA Tour golf cart collection. You know, no bubble gum, but just the golf cart collection. And he played on the tour that year, obviously. One of the years he played, I think he was out there for like 15 years or so, a long time. And he got everybody who had a card that year to sign it. I mean, you know, Arnold Palmer signed the card. I mean, Jack Nicklaus. I mean, you know, so he got everybody to sign it. And his last one to sign the card that he didn't have was Greg Norman. So Bill tracked down Greg Norman at the end of the year, finally got him, gave him the card. Greg Norman looked at Bill and thought he was one of the cart guys, you know, running golf carts to the tournament that day. You know, but he went ahead and signed the card, and Bill didn't realize that, Greg thought I was on the tour. He thinks I'm a cart guy.
Hey, Ward, I knew you got to get rolling. You got another meeting, but this is typical Billy Buettner. I love him. Just sent me a text, on my way. So we'll give him your regards, and you'll see him next Thursday. How's that?
That'd be awesome. And you guys come out, spread the word so we can get some folks out there watching these awesome women play golf.
We'll do that, and John will take care of the social media perspective, and I've got a couple other shows that reach the area, and we'll promote the heck out of it.
You're the man. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having us on.
Talk to you soon.
All right. And
looking forward to that event. I will be up there next Thursday doing it live, John Rieger. We might become the golf radio show of the LPGA in the state of Florida.
We're heading that way, and guess what? What we should do is probably bring a hot dog wagon with us, too, you know, take a few extra bucks with, you know, footlongs and Pepsis.
Oh, yeah. Did you say Pepsi on this show?
No, I meant Coca-Cola. I was quoting Bill Buettner. That's what I was quoting. And so Coca-Cola, ice cold Coca-Cola. It refreshes.
Yes, an ice pick vodka, another one of our great sponsors. Bill Buettner is going to be really disappointed, busting his ass to get over here to talk to his buddy and from the past. And then Patty Suzette didn't show either. So I will have to buy him dinner and cocktails, which will compose of a cold beer and some wings. What do you think?
Hey, I saw the pictures of the mural that Patty painted on the side of Ferg. That was awesome. We'll have to get that on our social media tomorrow.
Yeah,
for listeners out there, she did a great job with that.
Oh, my word, yeah. I had gotten done with the show on Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, 11 to 1, and I'd seen her, but I was rushing in. And when I got done, she just was finishing up, so I took some pics. And, you know, she's easy on the eyes. I said, how many of these clowns from the bar over the last 2 weeks have bothered you? She said, I couldn't keep track of all the local guys that might be sleeping on outside of Ferg's in the evenings. She got to know them as well. So she's a great gal, but heck of a painter, and what a great mural. And slap that baby up on our social media.
Fantastic. I know we're getting near the top of the hour for the news and stuff like that. So when we come back, I know we're going to have a quick John Rager golf report, but also Wild Bill's golf weather report. So we'll do that in the second hour out there. And who's also on tap this afternoon?
Well, in the second hour and during the break, you can look up at this business. We're going to talk to Ben Smith. He's got three locations in the greater Tampa area, TD Golf. I just thought it'd be unique. One of my coaches kind of introduced me to him and seemed like a nice man, and doesn't hurt to promote a local golf business, some of the things we're trying to do. And then at 6:35, we'll talk to James Poulter, of course. We've talked to him quite frequently. He's the president and CEO of Chi-Chi Rodriguez Golf, heavily involved in the First Tee. We're going to talk about their role at the Valspar, similar to what they did at the Annika, and we'll talk to him. And then we'll have Bill Butner to pick on a little bit, so we'll get through this without anybody in the entertainment squad even showing up or contributing. But I kind of ran him off, apparently, because Kerry McNally, as much as he knows about Feather Sound, I thought he'd be a great addition, but he's got a dinner. And then John had a scratchy throat. And maybe Patty Suzette, maybe she's exhausted from that mural work.
Hey, you know, Kerry had his second Tampa Bay Live Tonight show.
It was great.
Aired on Monday, but you know what was really interesting? Also on Monday, I was out of pocket Monday with some family, so I couldn't really watch his show or even the match that was held at over in West Palm Beach under the lights, 12-hole match.
I enjoyed the match.
Did you watch that?
Yeah, I watched it in the entirety. Yep, I enjoyed it. Max Homa is a crack up. That guy's got a personality.
So it's interesting, it received its lowest ratings of all of them, but I think that what happened is I didn't really see much promotion about that at all.
In the time of year
that they do it, you know, this is right in the middle of everything else. I think it's just got lost in the shuffle between all the Florida Swing coming up and all the tournaments going on in the world of golf that, you know, I think that this should be more played, you know, when it's exhibition season, not during the thick and thin of the LPGA and the PGA tours.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. Yeah, in fact, I discovered it last week when we were going over the upcoming tournaments and the Florida Swing. Remember, I said, "What's this event?" So I did watch it. Rory was cool. Max Homa, a lot of humor. Lexi, she actually loosened up. You know, she seems a little tense sometimes. She loosened up, and I can't think of the young gal. She's only 19 years old, just turned 20. She still goes to Stanford. Her name escapes me. But she actually loosened up a little bit as well. All right, we'll be back. Hour number two on the Tee Florida, live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill in our clubhouse studios. We'll be back, and we'll talk a little from the preps to the pros. I got a couple of topics I also want to bring up. We'll be back on the Tee Florida, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka.